Russell. It's 26th, I think, of August, 87th. And the subject we're going to discuss today is teaching in the township, and we're going to talk about some of Mrs. Russell's experiences. First of all, can you spell your name for me?
L-E-T-I-T-I-A.
Okay, that's R-U-S-S-E-L-L.
Yes.
And you're called Tish, T-I-S-H?
That's right.
Okay. So, were you born in the township, Mrs. Russell?
Yes, I was. I was born at Navin.
Oh, really?
On
what's
a farm.
Your name?
My name, I was McCullough.
McCullough.
And our farm was 2 miles east of Navin.
East of Navin.
Across from Sam Raffles,
there's
almost.
There's the day, yeah.
Next to Mildred Wall.
Wall? Yeah, okay. So, you're a township girl, then? So
that's
parents
right.
Were
farmers.
Farming.
Yes.
Yeah. So where would you have gone to school then?
I went to Navin Public School. And finished my education at Lisgar Collegiate Institute in Ottawa.
Okay. And did you go to normal school?
Went to Ottawa Normal School.
Okay.
1942.
Was it a 1 year program?
It was a one year program. And you had to have your fifth form, as they used to call it,
to go. So you graduated from high school, sort of, or collegiate before you went on to teacher's college?
Yes.
Only
it was called normal school then.
Okay. What was the job situation like when you came out? Did you have any problem getting a job?
No, there was no problem getting a job.
There were, in fact,
only 107 at normal school the year I went.
So 107 graduated?
Well, I'm not sure if all of them graduated or not, but most of them did, I would imagine.
They're all 107 attended. Okay. So then where was your first teaching assignment?
My first teaching assignment was SS number 7 Cumberland, which is known as Canaan.
Canaan School, so that's on Birch Grove Road.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So where? Yeah.
It was up on the hill.
Property?
It was up on the hill.
Yeah.
I don't know whose property it was, but.
Yeah, the Thorpe Farm. So was there much of the community of Canaan left there at that time?
Well, I had 20, maybe 23 or 24. Pupils. The church, the Anglican church was still there.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
The church,
I'm not sure. It could have been St. Paul's.
Yeah, I'm not. We have an article that was written by Dean Purdy, the new minister at Navin, and he talks about the church, so it's probably in there because he talks about Canaan.
And I boarded with Mr. and Mrs. William Larmer.
Now, would your board have been covering your salary at that time? Was it paid by...
Oh, no.
No, you had to pay yourself.
Oh, no, you paid it yourself.
Okay.
Would you like to know my salary at that year?
$1,000. $1,000 a year?
A year.
Yeah. Did you get flack about taking the summer off? That was a lot of money for 10 months of the year.
I guess that was the idea, all right,
yeah.
That it was that you had this big, long holiday. This was a school board. The SS number 7 didn't belong to the township school area number 1.
Oh, I see.
At that time. So I was hired by the treasurer, I guess. There was a school board, yes. But, I mean, they were on their own. You know, it was an individual school board.
So that one school would have been the only one they covered?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
And Arthur Miller was the treasurer. The time.
Okay, so were you the only school teacher at the time? Was the one room school?
Oh yes, a one room school and all the grades. Grade 1 through to grade 8. And those were the days when the pupils had to go to another center. The ones from Canaan went to Navan to try their entrance examinations to get into high school, and they were provincial examinations. I don't know.
Anyway, well, if you don't feel comfortable. Okay, so the pupils had to go to Navan to try an entrance exam. That was
just the grade 8 pupils, the grade 8 pupils.
Okay. Great.
In order to get into high school, yes.
So part of your duties were to prepare them for this exam.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Tough.
Well, yes, that you really worked toward that. You
yeah.
you knew that, you know, you wanted them to pass these exams. The basic, you know, English and math, I guess, would be the basic, all facets of English, the spelling, the literature, the grammar, math.
Okay. And those are the things that they were
those were the main things they were tested on, yes.
Okay. What would the age? Can you tell me some of the family names of the kids you would have taught? Not necessarily their names, but maybe family?
Yes.
We had Larmers.
I had, yes, one Larmer.
Yeah.
I had Birches, Thorpe, Heaney, Belanger, Miller.
Yeah, okay. So a pretty good cross section of the families. Township or in that section anyway. I noticed the
Belanger. Armstrong.
Armstrong's too.
Was another one.
Would there have been a separate school at the time?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I had five Belanger children in that first year.
Yeah. How would the children have gone to school?
Most of them walked.
So what, if you don't mind me asking, what year would that have been, the first year?
1943. September 43.
So were you prepared for teaching in a one-room schoolhouse, really? You had been through that experience yourself.
The practical experience you had at normal school in those days was to go out for a week following the Christmas vacation and a week following Easter vacation to a rural school. And you had 1 week in an urban school, which was Ottawa, in the fall, and another week in the spring. So you had only 4 weeks of actual practice, except for a lesson a week. You went to a different school the same day every week and taught one lesson.
Over the whole year.
Yes. Now those lessons wouldn't have started till on in the fall a bit.
Yeah.
So
you had practice taught, what, basically 1 week or 2 weeks?
Well, actually four. Two urban and two rural.
And in a rural school.
Oh, how long did I teach altogether in a rural school?
Yeah.
I taught 8 years.
No. Back up again here. Okay, when you practice taught at Teachers College,
yes,
you would have only had been actually taught at a rural school 2 weeks?
That's right.
Okay, so that was your only experience. What about training at teachers at normal school? Would you have been taught how to, or anything about teaching a rural school?
Well, I guess there must have been...
Like classroom stuff?
Oh, yes. There was lesson planning and that kind of thing.
I didn't know if there was something sort of geared specifically to a rural school or a one-room environment.
Not a great deal specifically for one-room rural school, but except for these 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. So when you came out of normal school, you were hired by the board and then you went off to start teaching in September. So was there a lot of preparation involved?
Well, you had to certainly be organized to know what subject matter you were going to teach to eight different grades.
Okay, so you had to do a fair amount of planning.
So this is the thing with the rural school. You had to be organized and do planning. That's for sure. There was no such thing as a 40-minute lesson. You had to teach a concept, let's say a new concept in math, to a grade you had a very few minutes.
Yeah.
And the other seven grades had to be working while you were teaching that that one grade.
So would you go on a rotation basis from group to group?
Oh, yes.
But then would they be all doing math, say, at the same time?
Yes, I that first year anyway, they would all be doing math, but you had to be planned that, as I said, that seven grades would be doing some seat work while you were teaching something. Then that group would go to work, and you'd go to the next group and do something with them.
Yeah.
And of course, the grade ones, not ever having had kindergarten, you really had to concentrate. I would say you concentrated on the primary and the grade eight, and it's just something like in a family, the middle one is inclined to get neglected, so they say.
Yeah.
They all had to get attention, but
they were the ones who you were particularly focusing on. The others sort of
got attention,
but maybe it was secondary to the others that needed it right then.
Yes, when a child comes in grade one, as I say, with no preschool, no kindergarten, no play school, no nursery school, you can't have them just sitting there. They have to have something to do. And the thing about those days was that there was practically no equipment. It must be easier for teachers today, and I have taught in the modern situation too.
Yeah.
And there's just no comparison with what we had to work with.
Yeah. Can you talk about what the school would have looked like physically inside? I mean, we have a picture here to look at. It would have been all a wood frame building.
It was a wood building. And this particular one had a teacher's entrance at one end and a boys' and girls' entrance at the other end.
separate entrances for boys?
Separate entrances for boys and girls, and a cloakroom as they came in. And then, at the back, was some kind of a stand for a pail of water, which had to be brought from the pump, and a basin, so the children could wash their hands. And the wood stove, closer to the back of the school, the room in the front, but basically in the middle, but closer to the back, so that the one sitting next to the stove could be very warm, while the ones next to the wall were cool on the day that it would be 20 below outside.
So did the older pupils help with the stacking the stove and all those kind of chores? Or?
Oh, yes.
You weren't required to do that yourself?
Totally. No. No, there was a caretaker.
Oh, okay.
There was a caretaker who swept the room after school, who lit the fire in the morning. Children helped with such things as blackboard cleaning and so on, as they still do, really.
Yeah. So you did have blackboards.
Yes, that was the big teaching aid was the blackboard.
Did children have scribblers?
Oh yes. But they had to buy their own.
Yeah.
But they didn't all have textbooks that first year. For instance, we'll say for social studies, as it was called then, which basically history and geography, there wasn't a text for each child, so you had to put material on the blackboard.
Uh-huh.
And when I think of the copying facilities there are today, well, there was, you bought a hectograph pencil, and you could make a gelatin mixture, make this in a sort of like a cookie sheet.
Uh-huh.
And you wrote on your paper with the hectograph pencil, you pressed it on this gelatin, and you could run copies off like that. And when I started to teach, a really new thing had come in. You could go to Jarvis's in Ottawa and buy a wooden frame, and you could buy these jelly pads that you just hooked onto the frame. Much like a clipboard today,
yeah. You'd
clip this on. And of course you had to get half a dozen of those, because you could only use it once in an evening. If you did a map, that was it. You couldn't use that thing again for another 24 hours. So you had to put on another pad if you wanted to copy something else.
It must be like a very, very primitive Kastetner type.
Very.
Yeah.
Very primitive. And the other catch was... Yes, I wish I had kept that thing, because that was... I thought that was quite the thing, because, you know, I could change and have different pads. The other catch was, though, that the teacher bought all this stuff herself out of your little bit of a salary. There was nothing like this was provided, and no such thing. Now I'm specifically talking about my first two or three years.
Yes.
My first two or three years.
Yeah.
Yet there were no what we have since called workbooks to go with the readers.
No.
There were, and Jarvis has had them. But if you wanted them, you went and you'd buy one, and if you were fortunate enough to have one child in one grade, that book would do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would put material on the blackboard. I don't think we worried too much about the copyright laws, or if there were any in those days, because I certainly put plenty of material on the blackboard out of those books, but they say all you had to do is change one word anyway, and it's not...
Yeah.
But but there were only a few in each grade. So you would only have, if you were making copies, you would only have two or three for each one. And I certainly used the blackboard.
Yeah. Now your first year, would there have been a pretty even division of children between the grades, or did you have a long?
I had five in that, what they call the entrance class.
Grade
8? Grade 8 was known as the entrance class, and I had five. Seems to me that one dropped out during the year. She took sick and she didn't come back. So it would be four then that passed their entrance. I think there were only two.
How old would they have been? Five, six?
They'd be in their sixth year. They would have had their sixth birthday or would be six during the year. And the oldest in the school were, I had two that had their 15th birthday before the year was out. And I had my 19th birthday the same year, so I was only 4 years older than the oldest pupils.
And how long were you at Canaan?
I was just the 1 year.
Just the 1 year?
And then I went to SS number 6 Cumberland.
Which was
out here on Region Road 34 now.
Oh,
it used no no used
Joseph,
it used to be Highway 17 in those days.
Whereabouts?
Right about opposite where Ferg Minogue lives today. About 3/4 mile from here. Our own children went to it later. And as far as I know, the Township School Area Number 1 was formed, but Township School Area Number 2 wasn't formed then because SS Number 6 had its own school board too.
Was it a one-room school as
It was
well?
A one-room school as well.
Okay. Any differences between the two schools?
Yes, the number 6 school had chemical toilets in the building,
school
in school.
And the one at Canaan Hill just
had the outhouses, yes.
Okay, what about in the pupils? How many would you have there?
My first year at number 6, I had very few pupils. I think I started with 9, and then a family of 4 moved in, and 2 more during the year. I think I ended up with 15 that year. So a teacher today who has over 30 children in the classroom would think that you had a very easy time with 15 children, but when you think of the equipment you had and the fact that you had to, you know, do the material, the teaching,
yeah,
the course of study for several different grades. Now, with the 9 children, there were some grades missing, of course.
Uh-huh.
I really can't remember now. Seemed to me that I didn't have too many primaries. I had... I think I only had 1 in grade 1 that first year. For part of the year, anyway. I can't remember by the time I had the 15. I don't think I had all of the grades. No, I'm sure I didn't.
Okay, do you remember any family names?
Edwards. Burnt, Taylor, Brisbois.
Brisbois.
They might have been my second year. I'm not sure if the Brisbois were there the first year or not. Ladisseur.
So the Ladisseurs and the Brisbois, would those children be French-speaking?
The Brisbois, yes, I had four Brisbois children who came specifically to the public school to learn English. It might have been my second year at number six that they came, and they would have to pay tuition to the public school because they were separate school supporters. And Mr. Brisbois specifically said he wanted his children to learn English.
So the separate school, obviously at the time, you didn't have an option, it was just French. I would gather from that that any of the separate schools in the area was to be French.
It would appear so, although...
Yeah. See, even today, it's the same today. Arlene of Whistle, I think, is probably the closest.
There was a separate school, what they called the Bay School, between Cumberland and Rockland. And I don't think it was French speaking.
It was a separate school.
It was a separate school, yes. So I'm not sure about that. But the one up in this area, the number six one, must have been French when they were sending their children to the public school to learn English.
Yeah. Now, how would the children have come to school? By walking again?
Pretty much by walking. On the stormy days in the winter, some the children would be brought by their parents.
Okay, do you remember when your day started? When did the school bell ring the bell? What time did that happen?
The school day was from 9 until 4. 1 hour for lunch.
And were you required to supervise them at lunchtime too?
Oh, yes. Now, in those days, 43, 44, 45, 46, the primary children went home at what we called last recess, which would be 3 o'clock. That'd be grades 1, 2, and 3 were dismissed, so that you had time to concentrate on the...
More senior. Started right in at grade 1, the first experience at school, and they would have gone from 9 till 4.
The little ones went from 9 till 3.
Yeah.
With a morning recess, of course.
Yeah.
And the hour for lunch.
Okay. So really, the major problems you would have had would be the lack of supplies and coping with a large number of things to be taught. What about discipline? Were there discipline problems in a one-room schoolhouse?
Well, I suppose, but when I compare those children with a classroom of today, there weren't too many discipline problems, really.
Okay. The kids were used to being disciplined at home, I guess.
I think so. That isn't to say that there was never a squabble or a fighter amongst the kids or something like that, but...
Is it too much of a generalization to say that they would have been better behaved?
There was certainly more respect, I would say, for the school teacher.
Had a certain amount of respect just because who you were?
I suppose so. And in the rural schools, you got to know the people because you boarded in the community, and it was customary to... It was customary to be invited home to supper in the different homes in the community, which gave you a chance to really get to know your students. I wasn't in every home in the community, but, you know, you would mix socially with the parents when you lived in the community.
Okay. And when you came down to Cumberland to SS number six, were you boarding or were you married at the time?
No, I was boarding.
Okay. And who were you boarding with?
I first stayed with Donald Johnson's mother, the MP, the member of parliament that you often hear on TV today. I had Don Johnson in my grade 4 class at number 6 school.
I was going to ask you if you had any illustrious pupils or who turned out to be sort of the lights of the community. Okay, so you stayed with Mr. and Mrs. Johnson?
Mr. Johnson was away in the Air Force.
Okay, of course, it was during the war.
During the war, yes.
Okay.
And then the second year I boarded with Mr. and Mrs. Berg-Minogue.
So how long were you at SS number 6 then?
2 years.
Where did you go?
And then I went to Bear Brook, to SS number 4 at Bear Brook. Now that is not the building that is now the community hall. It's the older school than that.
Oh, so it was on the same site?
Just across the road. It's a private home now.
Oh,
what
okay.
Was the school.
Right,
just
so
almost
that's...
across that forest road. Coming out.
Oh, across the forest road.
Yes, just west. It'll be just west of the community center, the Centennial Center. I think it might be interesting to note that when I went to Bear Brook in September of 1946, it was exactly 35 years after my mother went to that same school.
Oh, really? So you...
1911. I found that interesting when my mother said, you know, it's 36 years ago now since I stepped into that school.
So, would it have been the same school?
It was the same school, but it was a two-room school when she was there, apparently. But when I went, it was a one-room school. And that was my largest enrollment. Was at Bear Brook. I had 32 pupils. But I guess the good thing about it, whether you should say it's a good thing or not, was that there just didn't happen to be anybody in the grade 8 that year. So I had no pupils to actually prepare for that entrance exam.
Yeah. Okay, so family names then?
No. Armstrong,
sure.
Dunning, McGladry, Clearu,
so your mother had been a school teacher, now that was something I never thought to explore, so that's interesting.
And my father.
And your father both?
Yes.
So your father was a school teacher before he took up farming?
That's right. He taught school in Leonard. He taught school in Navan. I'm not sure where else.
Yeah.
He taught in a few schools. Then he came home to farm.
Yeah. So you're sort of following family footsteps. Okay. school different than the others that you had taught at in any way?
Well, I guess basically the same. The wood stove.
Yeah. So the school very similar to the other experiences you had.
I was just the 1 year at Bear Brook. Then Bob and I were married. And the first year we were married, I taught at SS number 10 Cumberland.
Which is
at the corner of Innes Road and Eighth concession, I guess. Yes, Eighth and Innes. Mm-hmm. The next road down.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah. Okay, so it's where the corner is now, where they're doing the bridge repair up there.
That's right. That school has now been made into a private home also.
So you really travel around the township?
But all my rural teaching was in Cumberland Township.
Yeah. 6 years altogether?
No, I was 4 years before we were married. Then I was at number 10 the first year after we were married. Then I was at home for 6 years with my two children,
yeah.
With our two children. And then I went back to number 10 school in September of 1954. And
one room
school, and I taught there until June of 58, except I was off the fall of 1957 for the fall term of 57, so it was actually 3.5 years the last time. And by this time it was Cumberland Township School Area Number 2, with a central school board for SS Number 10 and SS Number 6 and SS Number 5 and I guess SS Number 9 I guess was in it too. And there were, I may be confusing when I went in 48 to number 10, well, when I went in 47 and 48. I may be confusing it with 50 when I went back in 54, but certainly by 1954 there were a lot more supplies.
Yeah.
There were, you know, textbooks for every student, and there were what they called these think and do books to go with the readers that the children would have. So there was a lot more
support.
By that time.
And that was in 1954.
Yes.
So did you stay teaching after those years as well?
Yes, I went to what was Eastview. It is Vanier today.
Okay.
I went to the only public school in Eastview was the J.O. Swerdfager School, and they had built a new school in about 1956, I think. The Robert E. Wilson School, but those two schools were under the Eastview Public School Board.
Okay.
And I was there for 11 years.
Okay, that was in a city school.
Yes, that was the city school. And boy, what a change that was. My first class there was a double grade, a 1 and 2. And I had taken a course called Primary Methods that summer, because I had asked to teach primary, because I had this notion that city kids would be much more of a discipline problem, the older ones. So I would stick with the primary. So I was 2 years in the Robert E. Wilson School with a grade 1 and 2. And I was going to tell you that the principal contacted me on Labor Day weekend. That is when I was told what grades I was going to teach.
Yeah, sounds familiar. My first year of teaching, actually my second year of teaching, I was told the first week of school. And then I'd have 3 that didn't speak English. So things haven't changed much.
And the principal said, I gave you the double grade because coming from the rural school, you would probably think you were in heaven with only 2 grades. And some of the others would be quite annoyed if I saddled them with 2 grades. And I really did think it was heavenly after having the 8 grades. But don't mistake me, I enjoyed my rural school teaching. I really loved the kids. In fact, I enjoyed teaching all through. I can still recall many, many pupils through the years and have watched their progress, seeing their names in the paper various times through the years. And from Eastview, now that again, I want to speak about the Eastview Public School Board. That was a situation where you got to know the trustees. Maybe that isn't an advantage, but it's, you know, you really knew the people who had hired you.
Uh-huh.
And once a year, they invited staff and their spouses to a dinner at the Eastview Hotel, which was very nice. And when you would meet one of the trustees on the street, you could call them by name and have a chat with them.
Yeah. So it wasn't quite as... you didn't feel you're sort of a cog in a wheel.
That's right.
It was more personal.
Then I went to the Carleton Board of Education in 1969, and I taught at Fairfield Public School for 3 years. I quit in June of 72. Well, I was sick for the last 2.5 months that year. So then I put in 10 years doing supply teaching. At Cumberland, Riverview and Cumberland, Meadowview and Knapp, and Queenswood Public School, Fairfield. And I retired in 1984.
So it's fairly recent. You've been retired about 3 years?
Yes.
You find yourself like an old fire horse when the bell goes, you still think you should be there?
No, not now. And as I said, my last year, you know, was, I found quite difficult, and as I said, I was off from the middle of April that year, and maybe they'd call it burnout today, I don't know, but I found the last year very difficult. Also, I ended up with 2 grades. And 39 pupils in 2 grades. And that year they had decided, the board of the school board had decided that they weren't having phys ed teachers or music teachers, or, you know, you had to do all your own thing, whereas we had had a phys ed teacher for the, you know, who did the phys ed for the whole 8 grades. I really only spent 2 years, that first 2 years in Eastview, with the primary children. The inspector told me that.
Maybe talk for public speaking. I'm trying to think of anything else that sort of people would link up with a country school, spelling bees and that sort of thing. Because the public speaking really, although the Croc board really, I found that of all the boards that I've been experienced with, they really do stress the public speaking.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And I've been associated with public speaking for many, many years.
WI supports it quite closely too.
Well, the WI was the group that sponsored it here in the first place.
Yeah.
But not now. I think it's the Principals Association or something that took it over. But the Women's Institute did. And they still, our Women's Institute in Cumberland still supports it in this way, that they give a prize,
yes,
give prizes to the children. But but we actually sponsored it in the early Women's Institute in the rural area sponsored the public speaking. But one of the big things about rural teaching was the Christmas concert.
Okay.
You always had a Christmas concert, and every child took part in it, and you practiced for weeks before the big night, and the children had a lot of fun out of that. You know, they didn't have their phys ed classes and all this kind of thing that they have today, but they had their fun in those events. The field days and the Christmas concert was I'd say the big thing.
Can you remember anything sort of stand out in your mind? Maybe little anecdotes about them, or can you remember what you might have put on, for instance?
Oh yes, we always had what we call dialogues. There were always dialogues, and there were always drills where the children marched around to music in different formations, and the little ones always had a recitation to say. And now a number six school, I had to take part in the concert myself because I had so few pupils. So I had to take part in some of the dialogues.
Would the children decide what they were going to do, or was this sort of done as a project, all of the children together would talk about what they were going to do?
Well, the way I did it, I would take an hour, say from 3 to 4 or some afternoon on in the fall, and get out different books. You'd send away to these companies for little playbooks and so on, and I would go over different things with them, and together we'd decide what we'd like to put on. And I'm sure I had the major decision to make in some of the things, but the children
was guided.
Yes,
but they had input.
But they had input, and they really worked hard for those concerts. You know, with just sheets spread across in front of the stage. And at number six, we had to have a stage built. You know, a temporary stage built, and at number 10 school too, someone in the community would come in and put up a platform for us.
Yeah.
And my first school down at Canaan, I remember there was no musical instrument in the school, and I'm not sure who loaned the organ, but someone loaned an organ, and Mrs. Larmer came and played, and she would come to the school to go over for the practices. And of course, when I was teaching at number 6 and number 10, there was an itinerant music teacher who came once a week.
Oh, I see.
And She helped with the music. I wasn't very strong on music, so I was glad of the help from the music teacher. Just different.
Yeah.
That's right.
Really, you enjoyed it just as much. There were some things you enjoyed.
Some things were more enjoyable in the rural school, and some things. I enjoyed the fellowship of the other teachers when I went into the city school, as you call it.
But with your rural schools, you probably would have a closer feeling of community.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
So what, you lose in one way, you make up in another.
That's right. And I didn't enjoy the supply teaching.
No.
No, nearly as much. You don't develop a rapport with the children. I found myself very different as far as discipline and that, because you weren't able to develop this rapport. But I think, by and large, the parents were very supportive discipline-wise longer ago.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in favor of pounding children and hitting them and so on, but you didn't have to stop and think if you took a young lad and gave him a little shake. It was, you weren't going to be...
Not fear of
anything like that.
Yeah.
And of course, I think this general rule, I think all teachers will say this, that the parents who said, now you do, if my child needs discipline, you give it to him.
Yeah.
Those children rarely needed it. So that tells you something. Quite often, the children who needed the most discipline had the uncooperative parents. I found, don't you touch my... And that was the attitude, I guess, that was sort of given in the home, you know?
Yeah, especially if the kids feel they're above being disciplined, then it's a problem. Attitudes change, but I find education more so than anything else. They tend to have cycles, and then they swing back too.
Yes.
It seems to go up one way and down the other, like a pendulum.
Well, yes. You know, they opened up the open concept, and then they closed the rooms again.
Went back to the idea of the grouping within a classroom, where you end up very similar to the one room classroom.
This is right. I was going to say, if you have 30 children now in grade one, you probably do have five different groups. So they are. That makes it similar, all right. Except that you're teaching some of the same material. You have the same age group.
Yeah.
You're not going from grade 8 to grade 1.
But you're still having to prepare.
But you're still having to prepare the same number of. Of lessons.
I never had fewer than 30 children. And 1 year I had 40.
No, the most I ever had was the 39.
That was just called, that year was called just getting by.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that's what the inspector said the first year. We don't expect great things from these children, just get them through.
Someone is talking now, as this election is coming up, that they're going to do something about having
lower the pupil-teacher ratio.
Pupil-teacher ratio, and I'm all for that.
Well, the only thing is, what they don't realize is the municipal taxpayer is the one that's going to end up carrying the can for it, because the fellow on the radio was talking this morning about the Barhaven Public School, which has 12 portables. And they say, if we lower the pupil-teacher ratio, where are we going to put the extra teachers? And, you know.
But there are a lot, there are teachers who can't find jobs.
Oh, I know. I know. It's difficult. No? But really, the only ones that Peterson made happy when he said that were the teachers that needed the jobs, you know, as far as the...
Well, I still think if they're wanting to have quality education, they have you cannot do the job with 30 children that you can do with 25 even. If they just lowered it to 5.
Well, I think what teachers are going to have to do, they're going to have to get a lot, their unions are going to have to get a lot tougher. Because that was one thing the teachers' union, when I was teaching, was crying, oh, this is our big battle cry. Well, it never got carried through somehow.
We were told at one time that they counted, when they were counting the ratio of staff to child, that they counted the principal, the vice principal, maybe the vice principal was teaching half time,
yeah.
Principal maybe not teaching at all, and the janitorial staff, and count and secretarial and all this, and they counted them all, and that's not right.
Well, I know, even going as a parent volunteer, I used to feel like a scab every time I went to the classroom door. You know, and I was very adamant that I would not do anything as far as working with those children that a regular school teacher could do. I just didn't feel it was my place. I could go in and volunteer and do things that I could do because of skills, other skills I had separate from teaching. But if they wanted help with pupils that had learning disabilities and all that, no. I'm sorry. You guys are required to hire somebody to do that, not have me do it as a volunteer.
That's right. I'm afraid, I think that's what some of the volunteers are doing today.
Yep.
Doing.
They don't realize.
Doing things that the teacher should be doing.
Yeah.
I'm talking of another thing is about the PA days and the PD days. Mm-hmm. We have one teacher's convention during the entire year.
Yeah. And you have to go, they took attendance.
One teacher's convention.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. That's not long out of my school when I was teaching too. And the other thing I remember is parent volunteers, never heard of them. You know, no such thing. I remember taking 2 grade 8 classes to Stratford to see a play because I was teaching French. The other grade 8 teacher and I, and that was it. We took all.
You didn't have anyone come to help?
Parent volunteers. No, we just took all the kids and off they went. We lost 2 boys. They said, Shakespeare, not likely. Got off the bus and disappeared. And we didn't realize they were missing until the first intermission. But they were sorry that they had missed it. We were rather sheepish when we got back to the bus later on. And they turned up. Of course, they knew they'd been missed. The other kids had so enjoyed the play that they felt really stupid that they missed it.
My
they thought they were going to hate it and didn't bother trying.
Our big trip was Expo 67 from Eastview.
Yeah.
Our principal said, if you lose a child, you stay there till you find him, and you bring him home on the train or the bus at your own expense. Holy doodle. I didn't see much. One, and I was given a group of boys, and was I glad. The ones that had the girls had far more trouble than the girls.